الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the silsila Treasures of Wisdom. Alhamdulillah, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a reminder always that you and I, we should always show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should always be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the countless blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you and I. So always do remember, as they say, a reminder is beneficial for a believer. So whenever you are asked, how are you doing? Always reply by saying, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. That no matter what state or circumstances I may be in, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do this, then you would see much, much prosperity, barakah, and success in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter, inshaAllah. Azza wa Jal. Well, dear viewers of Madani channel, today, alhamdulillah, we do have a very splendid topic of discussion, and that is regarding the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Radha Khan, rahimahullah. And joining me in today's discussion, I have in studio our honorable guest, none other than Mawlana Abdul Qadir, hafidhahullah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Sayyidi.
How are you keeping, Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, Nisaf.
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. MashaAllah, Mawlana Sahib. Today, we do have indeed a very beautiful topic of discussion, and that is regarding Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Radha Khan, rahimahullah. So today, Mawlana Sahib, we are going to dive into the blessed life of Imam Ahmad Radha Khan, rahimahullah, his character, his love for Allah and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his love to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his knowledge, and much, much more, inshaAllah. But before that, dear viewers of Madani channel, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that one who recites salawat upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening will find my shafa'a, my intercession on the day of Qiyamah. I mean, how long could it take for a person to recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Just 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, and such a person will gain the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us also collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Muasab, indeed, Imam Ahmad Radha Khan rahimahullah, he was the one who actually taught us, showed us how to respect, obey, and love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He actually encouraged you and I, motivated you and I to seek the knowledge of deen. Because it's mentioned he had mastered over 50 branches of knowledge. I mean, this alone shows what a genius he was, not only in his time, but even up until now. He is still considered a genius and will continue to be until the day of Qiyamah.
Subhanallah.
Up until now, Mu'asab, people, scholars, even they look at the fatawa that Ala Hazrat wrote. You know, his famous fatawa, Radawiya. And from there, people, whatever problems they're facing, whatever rulings they require, they just have to open the book and subhanAllah, it's right there. So, alhamdulillah, we are going to be discussing various aspects of the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, of his life. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he's showing us the importance of brotherhood, unity, and how important it is for a person to uphold us. So in the light of Islam, Munasab, how important is it for a person to maintain and to establish brotherhood and unity?
Subhanallah, Sayyidi. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to bring people together, those who are fighting, those who are not on talking terms, those who have any dispute, to end this and bring them together, to make them see the light, the bigger picture.
Right.
As an ummah, we can have our differences, but at the end of the day, we are the same ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are one body, let alone brothers.
Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar.
This is a very great lesson that Islam teaches of equality.
Right.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made everyone equal. Subhanallah. He made everyone equal, and to such an extent that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was once a man who was the leader of a tribe. He just embraced Islam. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he had some hope that maybe through his influence, people in his locality, in his community, they would also be inclined towards Islam. So, however, after this person embraced Islam, somebody was walking and he trampled over his garment. And he tramped his garment unknowingly, right? It wasn't on purpose. And this man went and gave him a tight slap.
Allahu Akbar.
That poor man, he wasn't an influential person,
right?
The second person, but he was Muslim.
Right.
He wasn't an influential person. So that poor man came and complained to Amirul Mu'minin Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then said, okay, I will do justice. He brought this person here, the ruler of this tribe. And he said to the poor man that the justice of Islam says that you must do the same thing to him. Yes, because everyone is equal.
Right.
Doesn't matter, he is an affluent person, he is the leader of a tribe, that he can walk out scot-free.
Right. Tit for tat.
Yes. So, yes, you have to now bear the punishment. The man then sought permission because he didn't agree for this. Right. He didn't like the idea. And he then, after he went away, he even turned against Islam, meaning he went back to his previous faith, abandoning the Islamic faith. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't consider it to be a loss to Islam.
Subhanallah.
We rather have our Islamic values. Subhanallah. Yes. He wasn't regretful of losing this leader that came into the folds of Islam, but rather the values of Islam mattered to him more. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once it happened that there was this female who had stolen something. And in return, the Islamic punishment says that the hand to be cut off if it's established and proven. Now, those people, they sent Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu forward to intercede for them.
Right.
To reduce the punishment or to do some concession. Because the family from whom the wealth was stolen, they weren't ready to forgive this girl, right? So as a result, that will happen. The punishment will take place. But since they thought Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala is like a child to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kind of a family member, subhanAllah. So they thought maybe using his influence, they could pass the message to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to reduce the punishment and the sentence. So Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd, he went to intervene. And he requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to reduce the punishment. And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, do you want me to change the order of Allah?
Allahu Akbar.
You know why the previous nations used to be destroyed? Because when the rich and affluent and resourceful people among them, they would commit a crime, they would walk out scot-free. But when the poor people, they committed the crime, they were held and take into account.
Allahu Akbar.
And this is not going to happen. Even if my daughter commits the same crime, then she will also have to go through that punishment.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. So this is the idea of equality that is given to us by Islam. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he exercised that. And he taught him a lesson. And for all of humanity, this lesson serves That nobody in Islam is inferior or superior to one another except by the measure of taqwa, not because of the caste you come from or because of the color you have, right? Or because of the language you speak.
Right.
None of that matters that much. And after a while, when Sayyidi Al-Azad rahmatullahi ta'ala asked about the same person, that person doesn't come to visit us anymore. What happened to him, I wonder?
Right.
And then he says, it's good that he doesn't.
Subhanallah.
Because I don't have an inclination in my heart to visit or to meet or to sit with such an arrogant person.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And this is such a beautiful way that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he is teaching us, you know, how to be with those who have this display of arrogance and pride and ego. So this is the beautiful andaz and the beautiful conduct and way of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah. Look at his character. You know, in another incident, during it was a rainy season, Masab, and people would go to the masjid and they would travel in the rain. So Haji Kifayatullah Rahimahullah, he felt difficulty for this and he purchased an umbrella as a gift. But what he did was he kept it with himself, right? And when Haji Kifayatullah Rahimahullah would see Imam Ahmad Radha Khan Alayhi Rahma, he would take the Imam with him to the masjid under that umbrella. And a few days passed and someone who needed an umbrella requested for one. So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, immediately he took the umbrella from Haji Kifayatullah Rahimahullah and gave it to the one in need. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. From this DVs of Madinah Channel, we learned that despite needing things for himself, he would give them to others in need without any hesitation whatsoever. He knew how Islam taught us to be compassionate, to be caring, to be generous, and how to be loving towards others. Because this, at the end of the day, Masab, it increases a love for one another. It increases affection for one another. Nowadays, Masab, we see that it's very difficult for a person to sacrifice that which they love so much for another Muslim.
Yes.
And one hadith of Madani Channel, it mentions that someone who desires something and then withholds that desire and gives preference to someone else over himself shall be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
It all comes with sacrifice. It all comes with having the quality of empathy. And this is something some people lack more. So everyone may have sympathy by saying, okay, I acknowledge your pain, okay, sorry. That's sympathy, right? But empathy, on the other hand, not everyone really has that quality in them, where they put themselves in the situation of the next person.
No, actually, it's a very healthy quality. A
empathy.
Normal person should have.
Empathy.
Yes, but those who are cruel, they lack this, you know. Or they have some sort of personality disorder. Something is really wrong with, something has to be really wrong with a person if he does not feel the pain of others. He who does not feel the pain of others doesn't deserve the title of being human.
Allahu Akbar.
So yes, if being a human and we don't feel the pain and suffering of others when we see them and it doesn't bother, then that means it makes us less of a human.
If a person does not have this quality of empathy.
Empathy, yes. Because this is a built-in quality. This is an attribute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instilled in us, except for those who are deprived of it.
So it's there, but it's for a person to kind of unlock that.
Yes, and Islam teaches us how to unlock it.
How do you unlock it, Mansur?
By being generous, by following the Sunnah of Rasulullah
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
You know, sometimes we have the potential.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, we all have the innate ability to learn something.
Right.
But not everybody is a scholar.
Mm.
Not everybody is a professor. Not everybody is a scientist.
Right.
But everyone has the potential of becoming one. But not everybody went to the school, went to madrasa, went to Darul Uloom, went to university to acquire that knowledge, to exercise it in order to become.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So that is a very, very important quality, a very, very important trait for a person to have is empathy together with sympathy. And this we learn from this beautiful incident in the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah. Also, apart or together with his piety, together with his intense worship, and together with all of the sciences that he had learned, right? What were some of the outstanding sciences which perhaps people do not really know about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah? Perhaps many may think, okay, mashallah, he was a very great poet, he was a very great alim, he was a very great mufti, and perhaps this is all what people may know. What other sciences was there that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah had learned and had mastery over it?
Subhanallah, Sayyidi, he had mastery over 55 branches of knowledge. And there are sub-branches of that knowledge as well. Let's say, for example, physics. Then there is physics of light, which is called optics. That is now a sub-branch.
Okay.
So the majority of the branches, he had it covered, subhanAllah. If a question was asked, right, to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, no matter whether it was related to astronomy, maths, physics, algebra, geography, anything, subhanAllah, and he would just give the answer as if he has been doing years of research
immediately
on the subject. Yes, and this he was bestowed upon by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the quote of the beloved
Rasul
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, and he alhamdulillah designed 10 principles of facing the Qibla direction, which I find myself very fascinated by. It's about, the book is about 200 pages plus minus
on finding the
Qibla direction. Yes. And in that he says, and he mentions that these are the 10 principles that I have laid out. Not one, 10 principles.
10 principles.
10 formulas. All mathematical and scientific, with the rules of astronomy. There is trigonometry that is used there. He then says that if you follow through these rules, if you find out the latitude and the longitude of an area, meaning the coordinates of the area, and whether you are on the peak of a mountain, whether you are on a flat surface, or whether you are in the depth of the ocean, if you follow one of these principles, which I have never learned from anyone, and Allah, I have invented these 10 principles.
Subhanallah.
He says, alhamdulillah, not being boastful, but he is being appreciative of Allah's ni'mah upon him, right?
Right.
He says, without studying it from anyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed it upon me. And then he says, he only read 3 books in this science. He says, 3 books that is all I have learned in this regard. And then he says, some I learned when I was, you know, before he qualified at the age of 13.
Right.
And some he learned at the age of 19, after he qualified. So he never stopped learning.
He continued learning always.
Yes, and he would always be reading and studying, making mutala. So he says that if you follow through and if you apply these 10 principles which I have laid out, and for instance, the veils were lifted before your eyes, I'm 100% sure that you would find Qibla right before your eyes.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
That, it was that accurate.
No matter where a person can be.
Yes, and if you flip through the pages, you would see all the diagrams and the sphere of the earth and all the different angles that he would draw. And subhanallah, all the coordinates that he would write down. And it is truly amazing. Even to read that book, you need to now have those sciences, you know, under your belt that, you know, to be able to understand that writing itself. And mashallah, Dawat Islami has, subhanallah, the department that deals with the salah timings, the Qibla direction, and all of that, the Muftianikram that are there, Darul Iftah al-Sunnah. And there are experts there that specialize in this, subhanAllah, based on the principles laid out by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali.
Subhanallah.
And not only Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali himself, but his student was an expert in this field, Allama Malikul Alama Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali.
Allah,
he was known to have expertise in this field. Sayyidi Ala sometimes would say, you must refer to the books that is written by my student.
Subhanallah. I mean, that's an honor for the student to get that a kind of a recommendation or comments from his ustad, from his teacher. And subhanAllah, the viewers of Madani channel, we see Mu'asab has shed such beautiful points, such beautiful points of wisdom and insight into the knowledge that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he had mastery of over 55 branches of knowledge, and astronomy is one of them as well. Mathematics as well. One day, Mu'asab, a certain professor, he was facing some trouble into solving a particular equation with relation to maths, and he couldn't find the answer. He was consulting this person, that person, but he couldn't find the answer. Eventually, someone told him that, why don't you go to Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah? Why don't you go to him and perhaps, you know, he can solve your problem out. This professor planned to go to Germany to get the answer to his question. But when he heard this, then he said, okay, let me go to Imam Ahmad Raza Khan and see if I can get an answer. So he goes to Bareilly Sharif, to Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah. He mentions his query, he mentions the problem that he is facing, and Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, immediately, without, you know, referring to any book or anything of that sort, he said, this is not something difficult. And immediately he gave him the solution to that equation he was having trouble with. Allahu Akbar. So even here, Mu'asab, we see that he had a mastery in mathematics as well. And subhanAllah, together with all of that, Mu'asab, his level of knowledge, the amount of knowledge he had, still he didn't display pride. Still, he didn't display ego. Still, he didn't display arrogance. You know, once Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he was sitting for i'tikaf in a masjid in Bareilly Sharif. And he would not eat food after iftar. He would only eat paan, right? And at the time of sahri, he would eat a small bowl of custard. And this was made of milk, sugar and rice flour, as well as also a cup of chutney, right? Both of which he would receive from home. And one night, the paan did not arrive, and he had a firm habit of not asking for food from others. So he remained silent, but he did not like this delay. He's taking so long, so he did not like this delay. 2 hours after Maghrib, one child comes with the paan in his hand, and he goes to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, and he says, Ya Sayyidi, this is for you, here's the paan. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahimahullah, he hid the child, right, and asked what took so long. But however, the Imam, he later realized that the child was not at fault, rather the one who sent him late, that person was at fault. So after Sahri, he called that child and he said that, listen, I was at fault for hitting you last night. It was not your fault, but the one who sent you late. So what you should do now is that you hit me on my head. Allahu Akbar. So he then, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he removed his hat and insisted that he should hit him. The child should hit him. So the people who were sitting in i'tikaf, they became worried, and the child, he became even more worried. And then he began trembling, like, I'm a child, how am I going to hit such a great imam of this time? So the child, he put his hands together and said that, I forgive you, I forgive you. Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he said that, you are a child, you do not have the right to forgive. Hit me. This is what Ala Hazrat said to the child. And the child refused to hit Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah. So Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahma asked for his box and took out a handful of money. Said that, I will give you this, hit me. This child, the child continuously refused and said that, I have forgiven you, I have forgiven you. At the end, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, he took the child's hand and hit himself several times on the head with the child's hand. He then gave the child the money and let him go. Allahu Akbar. The of from this incident, this is such a heartwarming incident that it teaches you and I, we have seen and heard how Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah practically taught us that if you have emotionally or physically hurt someone, regardless of what the social status is or may be, there is no embarrassment in seeking forgiveness from him, from that person. And this is how important the rights of the people are. Also, when it comes to rights of people, how severe is this in Islam, Masab?
It is very severe, actually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made us the owners of our rights, and He has dignified our lives, our blood, our possession to such a degree where He has made it forbidden upon anyone else what belongs to us. Like today, you have this phone with you.
Right.
Can I or anybody else just take it away from you?
No.
I have no right over it.
Right.
If I do that, I'll be violating your rights. Mm-hmm. And who gave you that right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So right. It is the divine law of Allah azza wa jal. And Allah azza wa jal is the owner of our lives, and He is the owner of our rights as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive the rights of people that have been violated by somebody until that person himself forgives.
So if the person who he, say person A violated the rights of person B, and he is making dua, Ya Allah, forgive me for doing that to him, Ya Allah, forgive me for doing that to him, then in this case, he won't be forgiven until he goes to person B and asks for forgiveness.
Yes, because that law is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal has ordained it as such.
Right.
And He has dignified our lives, our possessions, our blood and everything. So nobody can violate the rights of one another. On the day of judgment, it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
That Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the other Sahaba. Mm-hmm. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of a sudden, he just smiled. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what makes you smile? So he says that Allah azza wa jal has granted him the knowledge of the unseen, meaning what is about to transpire on the day of judgment is shown to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning he is the possessor of the knowledge of the unseen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him. So he is narrating as if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeing it with his own eyes. And he said that I saw that there will be two people in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two brothers who will be fighting. And they will be standing in the court of Allah. And one of them would have violated the right of the other. And whose rights were violated, he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his right, meaning from the other person.
Right.
And as it is the Islamic principle, that those whose rights are violated, he can claim his right from the person who has violated it on the day of judgment, because
Allah Akbar.
The currency of the day of judgment is not the fiat currency.
Ah.
It's not the dirham, dinar, gold, silver, diamond, whatever it may be.
It's not the dollar.
The only currency that will work there is the currency of deeds, currency of actions, amal. So the penalty would be that Sayyidi Alaa rahmatullahi ta'ala says that if you have violated or usurped somebody's money, even few paisas, few cents, then you'll have to pay it back with 700 congregational salahs.
Allahu Akbar.
Imagine. And that person then, he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am claiming my rights from this person, that his good deeds must be given in my account as a compensation.
Right.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him that he doesn't have any good deeds in his account anymore. And the person will say, then if that's the case, then my sins must be transferred over into his account. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him to look up. He would look up and then he will see the palaces of paradise.
Subhanallah.
Grand palaces studded with rubies. And then he would be mesmerized by the beauty of those palaces. And then he will ask Allah azza wa jal, oh Allah, who are these palaces for? Are they for anbiya, for siddiqeen, for sulaha, for shuhada? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, it is for whoever can pay the price. So he asks, Ya Allah, what is the price? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, the price is that you must forgive your brother and you can have it.
Subhanallah.
And he said, I forgive him. And then after that, while he is on his way to paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him and says to him, that why are you going alone, take your brother with you.
Subhanallah.
So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do justice between the servants and the brothers, whoever have violated the rights. Meaning Allah azza wa jal wills us to behave in this manner,
yes,
to be brothers to one another. Forget our differences. Mm-hmm. Just come together and see to each other's rights.
Not violating the rights of others.
Live in peace and harmony. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who actually enforced the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there were tribes that were in battle maybe for over 100 years. Aus and Khazraj. And thousands of them died by fighting, civil war, by fighting with each other. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought that fight to an end. So much so that became brothers to one another.
Subhanallah.
Years of fight. Centuries of fight. And he brought it to an end. Subhanallah. So this was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you cannot violate the rights of a Muslim. Each one who recites the kalima, his life is sacred, his blood is sacred, his possessions are sacred. So nobody gives you that right to take that away.
Some people actually, Masab, like how Imam Ahmad Radha Khan rahimahullah, being such a great imam, right, being such a great leader, such a great mufti, a scholar, imam of his time, and yet with a child, he goes to this extent, fulfill the rights of the child, you know, for him for the child to take back what Ala Hazrat had done to him. But also we see that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahimahullah, he didn't shy away from being the first to ask for forgiveness. And today, Masa, we see some people, they shy away from asking for forgiveness first. They think that why should I stoop so low? Why should I go so down and forgive that person when he was the one who did wrong? Even if he didn't do wrong to vice versa, right? The person would still feel it so difficult to go and ask for forgiveness. Why is this the case, Masa? And from this incident of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, we see that he didn't shy away from this. Rather, he taught us to be the first to forgive. And also we learn this from the life and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how is it, Masab, that some people, they don't want to be the first to forgive, but they want that person to come to them and then they must ask for forgiveness?
It works both ways, right? One is for the person to have the willingness to seek forgiveness. And the other is for the other person to find it in his heart to forgive, actually. And both is important. Right. And the first is more important because this initiates the process.
Right. That first step.
Yes. If you don't make salam, how are you going to get the jawab?
Yeah, correct.
Right. So the initiative must be taken by the person who's wrong, who feels at fault. And once he decides that, okay, determines that, no, it was my fault, I should say sorry. And it doesn't take much for you to apologize to that individual. Imagine if you let it go, right, and let it slide, and it goes indefinitely, and you are gone from this world. On the day of judgment, the embarrassment that will be there, I mean, you can't compare the two.
No, you can't.
A wiser person would seek forgiveness in this dunya and settle the score. Instead of it being taken in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and suffer humiliation. So the one humiliates himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not doing it for anybody. Mm-hmm. Don't do it for the person. Do it for Allah. For Allah's sake, I'm seeking your forgiveness. Yes, sometimes we feel that this gives us, a lower edge.
Oh.
We are making ourselves less than.
Like we're degrading ourselves.
Yes.
And, you know, what people are going to say, etc.
Yes.
The comments that's going to come.
Yeah. And once you have this thought that I'm not doing it for people, I don't care what people think. I care about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees me. So, man tawadha lillahi. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man tawadha lillahi. He who humbles himself for the sake of Allah. Rafa'ahullah. Allah Azza wa Jal, what happens at the end?
Raises.
Elevates. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And subhanallah, as the one who humbles himself in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's say in salah, what happens to that individual who makes excessive sajda? He becomes jannati, right?
Yeah.
Right. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sayyidina Sayyidina Rabia bin Ka'ab Aslami that if you want Jannah, it's granted. Anything else? He says, that's all, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then what he tells him after that? That help me over it to fulfill this promise by excessive sajda. The most sajda we make, and this is the extreme level of humiliation and humility.
Subhanallah.
To make sajda, to put your forehead on the ground in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a banda, a person is the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to some ulama in the state of sajda.
Allahu Akbar.
And Allah azza wa jalla loves humility. This is our place, is to be humble in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more humble we are, the more we are showered with mercy.
Subhanallah.
And how a wali becomes wali? By performing nawafil. In nawafil, what you do is excessive sajda.
Yes.
Subhanallah. So this is the way to gain closeness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By being arrogant, we're not really gaining closeness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are putting ourselves at the same pedestal, mahalallah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Those were really, really inspirational words, Muasab. And this shows us the humility, the humbleness of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah.
And Sayyidi, we see in this instance that beautiful parable that you mentioned.
Ji.
One is to know something.
Right.
And the other thing is to make amal on it.
Mm.
Sayyidi has told him, the child, he told the child that you are not in the position to forgive me because you still haven't reached the age of maturity.
Right. The child doesn't have the right to forgive.
So one thing is knowing fiqh, Islamic law, and to practice is something else.
And here we see both in Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah.
Allahu Akbar. So he doesn't only give fatawa, but he makes amal on each and every Islamic ruling.
Subhanallah.
So yes, it cannot be said that he only gave and he only told others what to do. But he himself would act on every principle and Sharia matters of Islam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the splendor and the greatness of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, who taught us humility, who taught us humbleness, who taught us to forgive others, to mend ties, to join ties, taught us how to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as always, Muasab, you know, we do have a very beautiful kalam as well in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's so much more. You know, time is always of the essence. There is so much to learn about the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah. But we do have much more to discuss, Muasab, when we do come back after listening to this very beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Madina. Medina, Medina, phir ja rahe hain ahle mohabbat ke qafle. پھر میری بے قراری کے دن آ گئے پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو کی فضا میں بلا لو پھر گم
گنبد خضرا کی فضا میں بلا لو, مجھے بلا لو شہ مدینہ, یہ ہجر کا غم ستا رہا ہے, میں در پہ آؤں یہی تو ارمان دل میں طوفان مچا رہا ہے. پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضا میں بلا لو, پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضا میں بلا لو, سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو, سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو, قدموں سے لگا کر مجھے دیوانہ بنا لو, قدموں سے لگا کر مجھے دیوانہ بنا لو, دنیا کی محبت کو میرے دل سے نکالو, دنیا کی محبت کو میرے دل سے نکالو. پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو, سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو. یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ, یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ, آفات و بدیات کے پنجوں سے نکالو, آفات و بلیات کے پنجوں سے نکالو. پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو, سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو. مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں, یا نبی التجا ہے یہ میری موت مجھ کو مدینے میں آئے, جان قدموں میں نکلے نبی کے اور وہیں مجھ کو دفنایا جائے. مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں, للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو, للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو, للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت جنت میں بنا لو اے گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو فرقت میں تڑپتے ہیں جو مسکین بیچارے فرقت میں تڑپتے ہیں جو مسکین بیچارے اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو اے گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے شیطان سے عطار کا ایمان بچا لو شیطان سے عطار کا ایمان بچا لو اے گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو
ہے سہنا دشوار یہ جدائی میری ہو درد شہا رسائی نہیں بھروسہ زندگی کا یہ دل میرا ڈوبا جا رہا
سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ a truly heart touching kalam and these are the types of kalam that we have to listen to in order to increase our love for Allah and his beloved habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the complete love for his beloved habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grant us all the ability to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing Imam of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah and that is Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah and MashaAllah Mu'asab has shed much light on this, on the various different aspects from the life of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahimahullah. Truly shows of the immense love that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One outstanding aspect that, you know, that stands out in the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah. Also, Muasab, we see his compassion and his well-wishing for the Muslims at large. You know, and on this, his student, Sayyid Ayyub Ali Rahimahullah, he says that one day I was very worried and I requested Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahimahullah to make dua for me, to supplicate for me. And he supplicated and said to me and my brothers, Sayyid Qanaat Ali, that I have included your names on my list of people that I pray for. And it is slowly becoming longer and longer and longer. And I have memorized all the names and pray for them by name on a daily basis.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah. Look at the concern that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah has, the compassion and the well-wishing that he has for the Muslims at large. Until next time, the viewers of Madani Channel, stay kind and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom. Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.